take him wherever though. Everywhere make him known. I wanna make some clones. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Marlon and Christ alone.
I take his name around everywhere I go. Every city, every town, I will make him known. His mission got me bound, trying to make some clones. Model Christ alone.
Yo, 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 we are back. Episode 72 of season one. I was about to say season two, but episode 72 of Not the Same Podcast Bible Study, hosted by this one word. See, Micah, and that one word over there, Mr. Rob Redeem. I ain't gonna add him. Y'all saw it. If you saw it, if you didn't see it, you didn't see it. But we are glad, happy, and very gracious to be back with y'all with another Not the Same Podcast Bible Study. Man, this one will be a good one. I believe so, in the name of Jesus. But before we get started, man, please do what you see on the screen. Number one, hit that like button if you have not liked the Not the Same Podcast. And also hit the like button to help the YouTube algorithm get to moving, as well as other streaming platform algorithms to get it going. Also, subscribe to the Not the Same Podcast if you have not subscribed. What is you waiting on? And lastly, hit that notification bell so you can be notified when we are live with another Bible study or music and faith show or a sports show. Go ahead and do that. Do not delay.
Also, what's going on, D? We want to give a shout out to our rebroadcasters, man. Our MTMV Famo, they play the Not the Same Podcast Bible Study radio. I'm sorry, I'm about to, Praise 365 yeah. Radio Live Show TV. I apologize, I do not have my cheat sheet in front of me, but we want to give a shout out to all the rebroadcasters of the Not the Same Podcast.
Salute all you want words.
You know who you are. Don't, as they say in church, charge it to my head, not my heart.
Don't do it. But yeah, charge it to his head, not his heart. You know what I'm saying?
And that's a lot of charging, but hey.
There's a lot of your mama on here, man. We ain't going to do that. Good evening, Miss Davis. I ain't going to mess with you right now. Your mama watching. All right. But man, hey, before we get started, let's go ahead into, we're going to pray right quick, and then we're going to go ahead with this Bible study. The subject for tonight is Everybody Can't Go. I'm excited to see where this actually goes, pun to my brother's title, but Everybody Can't Go. Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this Bible study. Lord, we ask that you will have your way in us, Father God. Lead me and my brother as we go into this Bible study, Father God. Have your way. Do what you will, Father God, for us in the name of Jesus. Let us decrease that you may be increased, even in this Bible study, Father God. Lord, we allow you to do what you need to do, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for clarity and clearness, and we thank you, Lord, for just a good night, Father God. We bind up any type of technical difficulties, Lord, and we just thank you, Lord, for your word being strong tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, brother. So this is what the Lord gave me. Everybody can't go. The purpose of this is the Lord will call us to have, and he'll put a calling on our life, or he'll give us a vision or whatever the case may be.
Yes, sir.
And we share our vision with family members, with friends, with, mm-hmm. you know, just put it out there on social media or whatever the case may be. And we want people to be excited for us. And the moment that excitement is not matched, it causes doubt.
Yeah.
Questioning yourself if God really told you. You start feeling self-conscious about things when the bottom line is this: everybody can't go. And if you are being elevated to the next level, then you're going to have to get rid of certain relationships, certain mm-hmm. people, certain mm-hmm. habits. Those things mm-hmm. are going to have to go. So without further ado, I know we normally do definitions and get into it, but that's not what we're doing tonight. We're going straight. There's no definitions. Everybody can't go. I can't give you a definition, but look, everybody can't go. So we're going to go straight into it. The first thing in understanding this, the importance of separating yourself from toxic people situations. It is very important that you separate yourself, because how can two walk together unless they agree? Or, you know what I'm saying? What does light have to do with dark? And we're going to go into some scriptures to talk about separating yourself. Now, when you're a babe in Christ, you have to separate yourself for a time. There's no way in the world you're going to be trying to grow in Christ and think you're going to still kick it and hang out like you used to do. And Christ is going to win. And the reason mm-hmm. this is why. Whatever you feed the most is what's going to win. So if you feed your flesh, that's what's going to win out. If you feeding your spirit, man, you have to grow. You obey. Certain things you're not going to be able to do. You know what I mean? Then once you get mature enough, Yeah, you can start going back around and you can handle yourself. But in the beginning, it is very unwise to think you can keep doing the same thing. The Bible talks about how can you put new wine into old wineskin. And mm-hmm. the wineskin is just how they held it together. Once it's been used, you got to get some new wineskin in order to hold it in so it doesn't leak or whatever the case may be. But we'll be going to 2 Corinthians, then Romans, 2 Timothy, Romans, and Deuteronomy. We have three different points here that the Lord gave me. So let's go ahead and get into it, man.
All right, man. Without further ado, I'm calling my own self the reader.
Read.
All right. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty.
And this goes back to what I was saying. You can't expect to go in Christ hanging around folks who aren't striving to do the same thing that you're doing. You have to be around like-minded people. Mm-hmm. If I'm fasting and praying, there's just certain things, certain places I'm not going to go. Certain people I'm not going to be around, because I'm trying to focus to see what the Lord is trying to have me to do. And I don't want any distractions at that time. So if somebody's not, if you're doing at the beginning of the year, I did no sugar, no meat. I didn't go to the buffet steakhouse. You dig what I mean? I stayed away from the meat and just dealt with that. Now, if I would have failed and had a piece of candy, it's not the end of the world. So even though saying you can't expect to grow, I'm not saying isolate yourself to the point you become a weirdo. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is certain things you can't indulge in whenever you're trying to grow. And you have
even the Son of God, when he walked the earth, he was the Son of God, part of the God here. When he walked the earth, he separated himself from the disciples. Many times it say he departed from them and went and prayed. You know, one time where it talked about where he prayed so hard, he sweat blood. He bled, like he was sweating blood. He was praying so hard and going in. He was fasting constantly. He always withdrew himself from time to time again. You know, there was times when, you know, somebody was asking him something and he just started writing on the ground, pulling himself away to hear from God. That's what that's where I received that he's pulling yourself away. And I think you have to do that, man. You not forever, but for a time and for a season. It's very important. It's very, very important.
Yeah. Next scripture we're going to is Romans 16, 17 through 18.
All right, give me a second, bro.
I mean, Jesus often separated himself. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when he was walking on water, he had just came from separating himself because he had to, you know, hear what the Father was saying.
Yep.
17 and 18, brother.
All right, 17 and 18 of Romans chapter 16. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles, contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery they deceive the hearts of the naive.
Yeah, that's it. Can you go back up to the... I'm sorry, go to for a person. No, the smooth talk part. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive.
Yeah.
And if we say this often, there's nothing new under the sun. You know what I mean? Talking to people after God has pricked your heart and told you something, and then you go and talk to these people who, man, that ain't really what the Bible means. You know, that's for you. That's not for everybody. It'll have you confused and questioning yourself, and more importantly, questioning what God has given you. And the bottom line, if you go at 17, if you go up there, it says it right here. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause division and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. So if you are in Christ, you're in Christ Jesus. That means you're a Christian. You're going by the Bible. So when you talk to somebody who's spiritually enlightened, you know what I mean, or a new age person, the Bible clearly says avoid them. You know what I mean? Like, you got to avoid that stuff, because if you let so much come into your ear and eye gate, you will start saying, you know what? Well, maybe it wasn't God. Maybe that was just me. Or maybe it was what I ate. You know what I mean? It could have been indigestion. Mm-hmm. Whatever the case may be, the Bible is clearly saying, but such a person does not serve our Lord Christ. Mm-hmm. This is the importance of, once again, separating yourself from toxic people. Now, when I call them toxic, I'm not always talking about the arguing, the cursing, the this and that. Even in your spiritual spot, that can be toxic to your spiritual relationship with the Lord and what he's telling you to do.
And sometimes people are toxic for a moment. So they need to be separated for now. But later, you may be able to go back to them. But at the moment, and sometimes the toxic people are in your house. You know, no disrespect to nobody. But they can be toxic at that moment. And, you know, obviously, if it's your spouse at the time, you can't separate forever. But you might have to go somewhere. And you may be the toxic one. Sometimes it's you. And you be like, why is everybody running from me? Because your butt is toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. That can happen too.
Yeah, and don't be the toxic one because you are separating yourself. Well, I'm separating myself because y'all no good sinners and not like don't be that person either.
Doing the most.
You know what I mean? You're doing the most and you're not representing Christ or yourself well. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. Gotcha. And again, if you just joining us, we're talking about everybody can't go. And we're in the topic of the importance of separating yourself from toxic people.
All right, 2 Timothy 3:1-5. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Ooh, Jesus.
Again, this is talking about toxic people. And I think everything he just said, we know somebody on that line, whether it be in the family, be able to be at the workplace. It can even be one of your partners. We know somebody like that. And here's the bottom line. We can't completely avoid people unless we just stop coming outside. And that's impossible. Right. And then you become that weird Christian, cultish, like, if you will. Now, all of a sudden, you know, looking like Martin in that one episode when he went to the monastery. But I'm making light of it. You become weird like that. Now people laughing at you. But in all seriousness, if God is elevating you, you can't hang around turkeys when you meant to be an eagle. You dig what I mean?
Hold on, brother. Run that back, bro.
You can't hang around turkeys when you're meant to be an eagle. They both have wings. Yeah. You dig what I mean? But one is symbolism, freedom, flying above the, you know, rising above the clouds, where the other one's just pray. And what I mean by that, you eat it. You know what I mean? It's meant to be ate. And turkeys and eagles, the only thing they have in common, they look alike. And this is the perfect scripture for it. They have the appearance of godliness, but denying the very power thereof. A turkey has the appearance that it can really fly far. But it ain't doing nothing. You know what I mean? So just think about that.
It got wings. It got feathers just like any other bird. But it ain't the same. You know what I'm saying? You think about this, man. Think about if you in the sports in any way, you have these guys that come in and make millions of dollars, and then they have these hangar owners. And you know what I'm saying? And like we talking about, everybody can't go. Somebody have went to another level, and they trying to take people that's from that past level, trying to take these buzzards. But you an eagle. And you trying to take these buzzards and you mess around, the buzzards can make an eagle start acting like they're an eagle. I mean, acting like they're a buzzard. You know what I'm saying? The wrong crowd can bring you down. It's very important to watch who's around you. And like I said earlier, man, sometimes it's some of your closest folks. And sometimes this person has been an eagle the whole time you had a relationship with them. And then they moved into buzzard mode. You know, on a particular situation, you may be like, look, I can't talk to them about that because they're not seeing what I'm seeing. You know, and they ain't ready to fly right now. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah. I mean, that's just about, look at the eagle in the zoo.
Yeah.
That's you caged and you don't want to be that.
Yeah.
Romans 12:1-2, brother. I didn't know if you had it in front of you or not.
It's 1 or 2 or 9-12. Oh, you said wrong. Yeah, my bad. My bad.
Romans 12:1. Yeah,
I get you. I get you. That's my fault. Like the Lord didn't give you these scriptures. I'm like, nah, brother, it's supposed to be this. Romans 12:1-2, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye, oh, my bad, I'm reading King James in my
King
mind.
James.
But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is the good and what is good, acceptable, and perfect.
Yeah, so very popular scripture. A lot of people go to Romans 12:1-2. But understand that separating yourself means you also need to replace what you choose to entertain. So instead of meditating on the problem, the porn addiction, the person, Yeah. Replace it with prayer and reading the word of God. No, it is not. I'll say this. It's not an instant pill. So it's not like take the blue pill or the red pill. That's not how it works. You got to walk your faith out. You got to walk your salvation out. So the trials are going to come. The tribulation is going to come. The rejection is going to come. Because what does hurt people, that's one, and misery loves company. That's what I mean by toxic people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So when you're trying to better yourself, what's the first thing they tell you when you get saved? Oh, he think here come Mr. Holier than thou. Mm-hmm. They start ridiculing you because you're making a change. Understand that's the spiritual side of things. Yes, your dad. Yes, your mom, your brother, your partner. They said it, but the spirit in them is what's attacking you to make you question it. And that's why you have to separate yourself from toxic people when God is elevating you, because everybody can't go.
Yeah. And I think another part of the scripture that stands out, man, living sacrifice. Mm-hmm. If you think in the literal sense, when somebody is sacrificed, or think about in the Old Testament when it was Moses' son, Isaac, and God told him to sacrifice him. He was literally going to put him on an altar to kill him. So think about a living sacrifice. That means you always are putting these things that are important to you on the altar. What was more important to Moses than his son? You know what I'm saying? Like, for example, what's more important to you than Devin or Darius or Dominic or any of your kids? Kirby, what's more important than that? And God is asking you, be a living sacrifice. You are living, always putting this thing up. And that is very hard to do for believers, man, because we like what we like.
We do.
We enjoy what we enjoy. But I think we should always be at the point, can I put this on the altar? Have I put this on the altar? Has this risen up to a point where, like, nah, this can't be on the altar? Because if Moses' son was able to be put on the altar, what can we not put on the altar? That's his son. You feel what I'm saying? And Moses was faithful to the point where his son, when I'm speaking of this story in the Old Testament, his son was like, okay, look, we got everything for the altar. Where's the lamb?
I was going to say that, bro. Yeah. And what was Moses' word for it? That's the
God
part that,
provide.
That's what, there it is. Mm. Yeah.
But if no lamb showed up, hey, Isaac about to be up out of here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Moses had the faith that God was going to provide and take care of him. But even to the point of putting his son on the altar. But I'm bringing this back home for us as believers. Like, what are we not willing to put on the altar? Because if we're not willing to put on the altar, why? That need to get out of our life. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead, bro.
Yeah. And when he's saying put it on the altar, folks, for y'all who don't know, that's giving it over to God. You know what I mean? Like, is your job more important than God? Are your kids coming before God? Is your spouse coming before God? Mm-hmm. What is, or what aren't you willing to let go? Like, I'm just so into collecting guns and cars and that's your everything.
Yeah.
And God is saying, okay, let me get that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, let me get that. Are you willing? You know what I mean? Because sometimes God will tell you to go, and we'll get into that on some of these other things where God tell you to go. And it's like, well, I'm not sure. Well, no, this is good or this or that.
Yeah.
And we don't do it because we're not willing to give that thing up. Or you get some extra money and you hear clear as day the Lord tell you, I need you to go call such and such and check on them. And in that phone call, that person says, I'm struggling with XYZ and you got it. Yeah. Are you willing to give it? Because God will provide, like Moses told Isaac. And that was the biggest thing. Moses didn't say, shoot, I don't know. He spoke faith. He spoke words. Mm-hmm. Even though that's not the scripture we're on, he spoke words that, shoot, God will provide. And that's the mindset that we have to have when God is elevating us, because it was just Moses and Isaac out there. Had he took anybody else, everybody can't go. It was only meant for Moses and Isaac to be out there because God showed up for both of them. That was a moment for Moses' faith, and that was a moment for Isaac to see he is the true and living God. So Deuteronomy 18, 9, and 12.
All right. Like Rob said, Deuteronomy 18, 9, and 12, starting with number 9. When you come into the land that your Lord God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination and tells fortunes or interprets omens, a sorcerer, a charmer, a medium, a necromancer, or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is abomination, there we go, to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God for these nations which you are about to depossess. Listen to fortune tellers and diviners. We scroll up. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this.
This is what I want you to. No, that's it. You can stop right there. So this is what I want to. No, that's cool, because the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this. Yeah. Everybody can't go, and every habit and everything that you've picked up over the years, it can't go if you're getting ready to follow the Lord. He named everything that's going on right now. Yes, sorcery, sir. Diviners, fortune tellers, like all that stuff goes on right now. And we be like, well, no, this is new. Nothing's new under the sun. We said that. Often want to mix this and those things because it's popular right now. It's in your face. Right. We want to mix it with the Bible and what thus say of the Lord. When the Lord is clearly saying, separate yourself from that. You can't, it's like worrying and praying. You can't do both. You got to do one or the other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we're supposed to we're not supposed to participate in all of the things that he just said. But so often you will see the interminglings of spirituality with Christianity, or you know, I want to do this, or you know, I'm a and we talked about this before, and I'm not going to harp on it, but everything that scripture just said in the Old Testament, just think about that. That's Old Testament, and God is telling his people, we're not supposed to participate in that.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And yet we want to do it. Why? Because either we were brought up on it. Mm-hmm. Somebody hipped us to it. Mm-hmm. It was on point. You know, your daily horoscope had you on point.
Yeah.
Your angel numbers came up. You know what I'm saying? Like, and all that is a distraction from what God is telling you to do. And you have to separate yourself from that toxic stuff. When it says toxic people, again, if you're just joining us, we're talking about everybody can't go. And we're in the topic of the importance of separating yourself from toxic people. But it can also be toxic spiritual situations as well. You have to separate yourself from those things if you're expecting God to move in your life when he's already given you the vision and the purpose.
Amen.
Now we're going to the next topic, man. And this is very important. You got to understand it's your calling and purpose. What am I saying by that? God told that to you. You know what I mean? Remember that Uncle Sam point when that's God talking to you, whoever you are. If God told you, I want you to do this, that's your purpose and calling. And as we go through these scriptures, you will understand when you share your vision prematurely, people will try to abort your vision. You know what I mean? People will try to kill what God has given you because they're not happy for you. They will sometimes even literally try to kill you. So as we go over some of these scriptures, you will understand where I'm coming from. We'll be going to 1 Samuel 17, 38 through 42 first, then Judges, Genesis, 1 Corinthians, Joshua, and Proverbs. And we'll get through this. Again, this particular topic of everybody can't go, you have to understanding it's your calling and purpose, not your mama's, not your daddy's, not your people's, not your cousin. You know, such and such, she a prophetess. It don't matter. That was her calling. We talking about you. You know, Uncle Sam was on the deacon board. No, we don't care about none of that. It's your calling. Let's get it, bro.
All right, man. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 38 through 42. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor. And he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch, his sling in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance.
All right. So it's two things to take away. Everybody knows the story about David and Goliath. You know what I mean? We talk about it all the time. But the two things I want you to take away from this one is, first, you can't take everyone's advice and words. We've been talking about this. It does. If it does, If it doesn't line up with God's word, then guess what? That's what it is. Mm-hmm. And you are looking for people to confirm it. Saul gave David the armor, right?
Right.
It's like, yo, this ain't mine. I haven't right. tested this. First right. Thessalonians, we just talked about in the last chapter in Romans, like test it. But 1 Thessalonians 5:20-21, we're not going to go there. But it talks about not despising prophecy, but test mm-hmm. everything and hold fast to what is good. Yeah. You know what I mean? So David was ready for battle, and somebody, this is what I'm saying. It's like, look at it from this standpoint. God told you, you're going to go and do this. Mm-hmm. But then somebody else, a man of God, came and told you, nah, you need to do it like this.
Yeah.
And he was like, nah, this ain't for me. Hey, get this off me. I'm going to do what God told me to do. Let me go right. grab the weapons that he told me to get. And then the other thing is, don't let your appearance, education, lack mm-hmm. of whatever you make money-wise, make mm-hmm. you feel like you're not worthy and God can't use you. Because when David saw him, he laughed at him. Like, man, this little puny whatever. Sometimes right. people are going to laugh at you when you say, hey, look, God told me I'm about to open up this business. God told me that I'm about to be the pastor of this church. People are not going to rock with it because it wasn't their calling. It's your calling. Right. David didn't look for nobody else's approval. He went in there like, man, look, I serve the true and living God. Like he flexed on Goliath before he killed him.
100%. 100%. Go ahead, bro.
So, that was it. The next one is Judges 11:1-8.
I was going to say this. You know, in the story of David and Goliath, man, the most awesome thing is this. David was the least of his brothers. You know what I'm saying? All his other brothers ran and hid. David was mad because not about the strength and the bigness or the largeness of Goliath, because Goliath was a literal giant, not figurative, literal giant.
Yeah.
But David was offended because that giant was cursing David, God.
Mm-hmm.
And all that strength and gusto that he got, it was because he was so offended that this man had the audacity to come curse his God. Because David was like, if you read further down, it's like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine talking crazy about my God? Yeah, and it's when they brought him this armor ain't for me. Give me these rocks. All I need is 5 rocks. Hit this dude in the middle of his head. He's going to go night-night. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That was
right.
it. But David had all this faith for this, and I say this and we'll move on, bro. David had all this faith for this giant because David had already battled a lion. He already battled a bear. So he was like, who's this Philistine? Because the same God that delivered me from this lion and bear would deliver me for this. And the example of this is like, yo, he's been through some things. He was young, but he'd been through some things, dog. He
got
to know that, and he had to be able to step up. So when that battle came, it wasn't no fear. I ain't scared. No. Oh, y'all scared? All right, y'all stand over here. Let me handle this. I got him. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's on point. So for whoever going through it, if you didn't catch what C's saying, like, you've been through some things. Yeah. So when you get to the next giant, remember what God has already delivered you from and brought you through. And that'll help you also. You know what I mean? So, like, stay on that part. Like, remember the victories that God has brought you through if you're facing this new giant, and have the same attitude David had. Like, I'm straight. We here to take this down. It's just a test.
Just a test. All right, we're going to Judges 11:1-8. Judges 11:1-8. Gileadite was a mighty warrior. He was a son of a prostitute. Oh, Lord. Gilead was the father of Jephthah, and Gilead's wife also bore him sons. And when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, you shall not have an inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. And worthless fellows collected around Jephthah and went out with him. After a time, the Ammonites made war against Israel. And when the Ammonites made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to bring Jephthah from the land of Tob. And they said to Jephthah, come and be our leader, that we may fight against the Ammonites. But Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, did you not hate me and drive me out of my father's house? Why have you come now? Why have you come now when you are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, that is why we have turned to you now, that you may go with us and fight against the Ammonites and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Jefferson
right.
said too.
That's it. That's it right
okay.
there.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah. So 1-8. Listen, man, oftentimes family can be the cause of us not wanting to walk in our purpose.
Come on, man.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. Jeff, how many times have you heard your mama wasn't this, your daddy wasn't that? You know what I mean? And they treat you how your parents were. So his dad was cool. You know what I mean? But his mama was a prostitute. So she was the jump off. And the other kids, now he the half brother, and they ran him out. And they ran him out. They said he went around with worthless people. And people might, you have to understand this, man. People look at things one way, God doesn't. And
exactly.
We may have not actually fled for our lives, but how many times have we been talked out of something because family? And we talked about this earlier, how it can be family sometime. Family said this, that, and the other, and it made us feel away. But they had to humble themselves and go back. And he could have been like, nah, he brought it up. How you going to ask for me now?
Yeah.
Look, wasn't it y'all? You know what I mean? His family tolerated and despised him, but a whole nation celebrated and made him a leader. And I want y'all to think about that. Your family may tell you nothing. You ain't going to never be nothing. Your peoples ain't nothing. But they despised you and speaking the negative things into your life.
Right.
But it's a whole nation. It's a group of people that need to hear your story so that you can lead them and they can know that they can come out the same way that you did.
Amen. And another example, like when Jesus, the Son of God, when he was doing miracles, they said, oh, that carpenter's boy.
Yeah.
Because they can't see you past your parents. Oh, Joseph's son, the carpenter's boy. Who was born of the Holy Spirit. They probably was talking real reckless. Yeah, Mary. The Holy Spirit impregnated you. For real, Mary? You know what I'm saying? You already know that you're coming like at him sideways.
Jeff and mama. That's how they probably.
that carpenter's boy? All right. Yeah. He the one healing everybody. Okay. But yeah, that's how it be, man. So.
Yeah, man.
It's messed up, man. All right, next we're going to Genesis 37, 1 through 11. All right, Genesis 37, 1 through 11.
Again, if you're just joining us, while C is getting to that, we are in the topic of everybody can't go. And right now we're talking about understanding is your calling and purpose. Everybody's not going to understand. So as Jeff had just showed, what his mama was, he was ran out, but he ended up being leader of a nation.
Amen. All right, Genesis 37, 1 through 11. Jacob lived in his father's sojournings in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report to them from to their father. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a robe of many colors, or the technicolor dream coat. But when he saw his brothers, saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. Binding the sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, Are you indeed to reign over us? Or are you indeed to rule over us? So they hated him even the more for his dreams and his words. How far was I supposed to go?
To 11.
Okay. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bound down to me. But when he told it to his father and his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come and bow ourselves to you, to the ground before you? And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind.
Okay. So C brought this up last week in the Bible study, this particular story. But this is what I'm going to tell everybody who likes to run off. And, you know, I know it sounds good. God gave me something. When God gives you a dream or a word, it's not always wise to share with the people around you because they don't have the capacity to understand what God has given you.
That's right.
It's your calling, not theirs. Yes. Joseph was sold, accused, imprisoned before being put in position God had for him. Stop sharing God's word, you know, that he had for you with others until the right time. because you can prematurely, like I said, people be trying to abort your dreams. And I know I'm using that word abort, but that's on purpose, because when God births something in you, until it's birthed out, you have to nourish that thing. You have to get ready. He went through all of that and he ended up reigning in the end. But he got in prison. He got accused. He got sold. It was bad. It was bad for my boy, you know? Yeah. But a lot of times folks talk because they low-key looking for confirmation from other people instead of God. So when God gives you a dream, unless you go into a confidant, you only get a few confidants. Somebody you could truly talk to and say, hey, God gave me this dream. If it's a godly man or woman that you're talking to, if during that conversation they don't say pray, that ain't the person you need to be talking to. Stop looking for confirmation. Go ahead, bro.
And even with your confidant, let the Lord lead you. Because a confidant may not intentionally be upset. They may not never had a jealous bone for you, jealous molecule for you until you said that. Because that may have been something they've been praying for forever. And then they looking at you like, Lord, I've been praying for this for 10 years. This word just got saved. You know what I'm saying? It could be like the prodigal, like the prodigal son. You know, where the son got the rich ruler promised his son all this stuff, and he went out there and wilded out. And the good son looking like, Dad, I've been here the whole time. Why are you cutting up a fat calf and doing this great thing for him coming back? You know what I'm saying? You could be just like that. So you never know. So you have to be led, like Rob was saying. Who you tell your vision, man? Sometimes you got to hold that thing. And that's hard because you're excited. It's just like when you get in a new relationship with somebody, you telling everybody, you know, they do this and they do that and they do this. And they may be looking at you like, but I wanted her. I wanted him. You know what I'm saying? But the same thing with this thing that God gives you, you may have to hold that thing for a minute. I know it's hard, but you're going to have to hold it, man.
And hold it. And again, sometimes people tell people because they're looking for confirmation from the man of God and the man or woman of God in their life, as opposed to trusting God's word. And we all fall to it at one point in time and another, but you just got to grow from it. 1 Corinthians 15:58.
Right. Scrolling up there.
I didn't even know Corinthians went this deep, brother. I promise you I did.
It does, brother. All right, 1 Corinthians 15:58, like my brother said, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain.
Basically, if you are doing what God has told you to do, keep going. If it ain't one thing, it's another. It's not in vain. Keep doing what you're doing. Your light is shining.
Watch your mouth. Watch what you say.
Please watch your mouth, man.
Watch your words, man. Words are powerful. You're not a genie and you can't make stuff happen, but also you were birthed by the Creator and you are made in His image. Other words, you can create some things sometimes. We ain't talking about manifestation.
We're not talking about manifestation.
We ain't talking about that. As believers and son of God, you have authority, so you got to watch what you're saying. You got to watch them careless words and those negative words over you, because some things that the enemy can't do to you, you could do to yourself by what you're saying. So watch your mouth, one word.
Watch your mouth. All right,
Joshua 1, 8.
8 through 9. Yes, sir.
All right. We got it. Give me one second here, brother. All right. Joshua 8 through 9. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Folks, when you're feeling lonely, when you're feeling like, I don't think I can do it no more, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord God is with you wherever you go. No matter where you're at, He's there. It may not seem like it all the time, but He's there. You know what I mean? I use the cliche, everybody knows this picture, footprints. Lord, there were two sets of footprints. And then when I got here, you left me alone. And He said, my child, that's when I was carrying you. You know what I mean? So that's the footprint picture that everybody see. And you have to remember that no matter where you go, when it feels like you know what I mean? Yeah. He's there. So just be strong and courageous. You got anything, C?
Yeah, one thing about the Bible, man, it shows up over and over again. A lot of times when you're dealing with something, man, your answer is in the Bible. And I was thinking about earlier when you was talking about when it was laying out, you shouldn't go to these mediums, you shouldn't go to these fortune tellers and all that. A lot of times we do that because we feel like we need an answer now. Mm. And a lot of times we don't see the answer because we're not in the Word. Mm-hmm. You know, because everything we need is in this Bible. But a lot of times we don't see it because we don't know it. So he's like, well, you know, if God would answer, would speak to me, listen, God will speak to you through the Holy Spirit, but he speak a whole lot through this word, a whole lot through this word, man. And we have to know it, because I was reading this and I already knew it, because I'm reading it like almost like because I've read this word before. Not that I'm Mr. Remember everything. It's just when it's in you, it start coming out of you. And that's what you need, man.
Yeah, man. No, that's right on point. We're going to Proverbs 3:3-6. Be strong and courageous. Be encouraged. If you're just joining us, we are in the Bible study of Everybody Can't Go, and we're under the topic of understanding it's your calling and purpose. What we mean by that, if God gave it to you, you have to understand that is for you. Stop looking for validation from other people for what God has told you to do.
All right, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3-6. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths.
Yep. Hey, that's it. One of our biggest problems is we lean to our own understanding. Yeah. And the moment we do that, it's messed up. But it says in all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll make straight your path. So when crooked is crooked, he can make that crooked straight so that you can understand something to happen. And it's like, man, Lord, how am I going to get out of this? And then the Lord, boom, there you go. Can you scroll up for me at the beginning of this? Right there when it says, write it like a tap, bind them around your neck, you know, tablet of your heart. Listen. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you're not, when C just said a minute ago about watching what your words are or what you say, we're not talking about manifestation again for those who pop in.
Yes.
But if the word is in you and you're speaking, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know he works every, things work together for those who love the Lord. You know, and I'm paraphrasing, but there's different scriptures. Man, I'm going to submit to the Lord so I can resist the devil. Because if I don't submit, there's no resistance. Like, it's different stuff that you have to tell yourself the same way you talk to yourself and be like, man, if it ain't one thing, it's another. Man, here we go again. I always got it. Man, it can't. Boy, I promise you, I can't catch a break. Something always. Replace those words with the word of God. That's what it means. Bind them around your neck as a tablet on your heart. Because if you're meditating on the word, you can say it. And again, this is not an end-all, be-all pill like a, voila, I'm never going to have a problem again. But it'll give you strength and encouragement when you're down.
I want to say this about manifestation. We bring it up a lot of times. We be like, this ain't manifestation. Here's why. Satan is a perverter of things, right?
Yes.
So God, through God, you can call those things to be not as though they were, right? And things can happen through God. It's always from God. So even when someone, you would say, you would speak this thing and it happened, it's because the gift of faith. You know who the gift is from? God. So it'll go from, okay, you can go from like, Rob can say, hey, man, I'm dealing with pains in my body. And I can say, hey, bro, I'm going to pray for you. But then when the gift of faith is on you, and when I say, I'm not talking about just a normal faith where you believe in something, but a supernatural gift of the faith, I'd be like, all right, bro, you ain't going to be sick no more right now. And I say that with this authority. And God, it's not because I said it. It's because God gifting was on me. And when I said it, it did something. You dig what I'm saying? And that is manifestation, the right way. The wrong way is saying without the gifting of God being on you, you just walking up saying, I'm getting this house. I'm going to manifest that thing. You will not do that. You can't do it in your own strength. So all these gifts and these supernatural things that you see, it's only connected to God. When it's connected to God, it works and it's right. When it's not connected to God, it's wrong. That's why every time we say something like manifestation, we correct it, because we don't want nobody to think we're siding with these things apart from God. Because in our own strength, we could do absolutely nothing. And if it does work, it's not from God. It's from the devil. I just had to say that. My bad, bro.
You on top of it. So
because people think we just hating on things because it's now. Listen, Rob said this earlier. There's nothing new under the sun. These people that was doing these manifesting things, look up when God was going against all these sorcerers and stuff back in the day. And they had these snakes to cop out, and then he made a snake and ate them all. There's a bigger one word in the building. That's basically what it proved. Yeah, you can do a little something, and the enemy can do some things, but there's a greater guy. There's little G guys, and then there's D God.
That's the bottom line. As we go into our last segment of it, or the last portion of this Bible study of Everybody Can't Go, God told you, despite your flaws. 100%. See, a lot of times when Everybody Can't Go, you start listening to everybody. You know how we talked about your family members can start doing this and, well, he can't use me because I got to do this, or I got to clean up and I got to do. No, if he say go, go, you know 100%. What I mean? Just go, step out. You know what I mean? Sir. Everybody talks about Peter in the and the boat stepping out, right?
Right.
The bottom line is he stepped out. And what happened, if you want to use that story about when he stepped out on the water and he looked around and saw the waves crashing, it's just like our lives right now. And we're not going to get into that scripture, but I want to say this. The same way he stepped out, that it's the same way sometimes we step out. And then life be lifing. And when life get the lifing and bills get to coming, we start looking around and we start sinking in our faith.
Right.
But the one thing, he stepped out, and the same way God said he'll never leave you, Jesus put it, he never drowned.
Come
his
on,
head
bro.
Never went below water.
Come on,
he
bro.
Just started sinking, and Jesus grabbed him and picked him up. Because as we read in the scripture, God said, I will be with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. So, yes, Peter stepped out that boat. He was strong. He was courageous. And he let life that life sometimes get them. So if you have those down moments because your health tripping, because your bill, your money low, whatever the case may be, keep walking, because he's not going to let you drown in it. Even if you had a moment of doubt the way he did, stand fast, stand on the word, stand and still and know he's God.
I say this, we'll move on, bro. Just to further illustrate what we were saying about like manifestation. Manifestation is you just got in the water and walked. Peter only walked on the water because Jesus said, come.
Come.
Without Jesus saying, come, ain't no walking on the water. None. And he sunk, not because Jesus said, come. He sunk because he got distracted by the winds and the waves, not because Jesus made him do that. He only walked on the water because Jesus said, come. It's always connected to God and then something happening. It don't go out of order. But anyway, go ahead, bro.
No, and the last thing I say about that with the everybody can't go, the only person that said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. So if God is giving you a calling, he left the rest of the disciples on the boat. Everybody didn't go because everybody couldn't. They didn't have the strength and courage to step out and go. And so for whoever that's for, y'all be encouraged. Keep walking. God chose you despite your flaws. And I want y'all to, again, God chose you despite your flaws. We're going to Philippians, Philippians, James, Psalms, Exodus, and John, and then we'll wrap this up.
Philippians 1 and 6, I am sure of this, that he who begun a good work in you will bring it to the completion at the day of Jesus Christ.
God will finish what he started. That's just the bottom line. You know, and whatever he told you to do, he will finish it as long as you remain faithful in doing that. Now, he can't finish it through you. Now, if you don't want to finish it and I'm doing my own thing, trust me, he'll find somebody else who will. You know what I mean?
Facts.
The key is submitting and being obedient to what he said.
One of the most humbling things that could ever happen is you see somebody doing something that God told you to do. Jesus.
Hey.
That hurts your soul, boy.
Testimony.
Come on, bro.
I wrote a song when I first came out, and God said, take this song and roll with it. And I'm like, well, nah, I got this new song. I promise you, another brother in this city, to this day, the song that he gave me is a part of his brother's name. And I'm going to give it's no hate. I'll give him his shoes to victory.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? The Lord gave me a song called Victory. You spelt it out. It was an anthem. It was going. I didn't think that song was the song I should be doing. I wanted to do a different song. And the Lord told me, no, do this. And I did not do it. You want to know what happened? So much so to the point we had a concert one time. And this brother brought me up. Why he did his victory song. he brought me on stage. Now, I performed that night, but when he did his song Victory, the same one, and at that moment, I was like, golly, God told me to run with this thing. I did not, and guess what? Shoes went right on in and was obedient, and it was and everybody saying it, and God had given me that 3 or 4 years before Shoes even came on the scene. Shout out to my little bro. Love him to
salute
life.
Salute to him. Salute
you
to him.
You dig what I'm saying? But that's the thing of saying God gave you something, but you wanted to do it. I leaned to my own understanding, which we talked about, and Shoes took it around with it. You know what I mean? God used somebody else, and he allowed me to see it. Do I feel a way about it? No, but the conviction was, had I been obedient, there's no telling what God was telling me that for a reason.
Right.
So he used somebody else who was willing to roll with it.
Yeah. All right, we're going to James chapter 4, verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Again, submission is key to resisting the temptation and of thinking you can't do what God has told you to do. If you submit, you can resist whatever comes your way. But it's the submission, and that's a bad word in today's society. Submit. Submit. Who? What you mean? They hate the word submit. I ain't know this. I ain't know that.
Ain't nobody slave. You know what I'm saying?
Submit yourself to God. Once you submit, you can resist whatever the distraction or temptation may be for you to give up.
This is another example of how the enemy will pervert scripture. You hardly ever hear the submit part when people say this. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Not if you don't submit.
Right.
He ain't going nowhere. All right. point blank, period. You know what I'm saying? Period. As they say, the kids say now.
Psalms 139, 1 through 16. That's hilarious, bro.
It is what it is, bro. I mean, that way. All right. I'm going to have to pull this up to get to 139. Hold on. 139:1.
Again, if you just joining us, we're talking about everybody can't go. And we are in the chapter of God chose you despite your flaws. And that's the biggest thing. So people don't think like you're worthy. No, we're not worthy, but through Christ we are. He's deemed us so when we accept Christ. So
Psalms 139, 1 through 16. Yes. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know me when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, oh Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in, behind, and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Oh, where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol or hell, that's what that means, you are there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. And you and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, and light is the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day. For the darkness is as light with you. For you have formed my inward parts. You have knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them in the days that were formed for me. When as yet there was none of them.
Okay, so that before the days even came, he knew. Here's the bottom line. God knows everything about you and me. Everything. Yet he loves us despite of us. And he still wants to use us despite of our flaws. Amen. And everything that thing just said, where can I go? You knew me. Yeah. Even when mama and daddy was doing what they did to get us here, you knew what was going on. What I'm saying? It's like, so here's the key in that. What was done in secret. So even your sins that was done in secret, he saw that and he's still saying, I love you. I want to use you. I got this for you.
Yeah. And what was done in secret and what is done in secret, he still loves us.
Amen. Presently.
That's not just in the past, present.
No. Exodus 4, 10 through 16.
Gotcha, bro.
Boy, it's allergy season. Pray for your boy.
Yeah, I hate it.
Be deep. It's that allergy demon. Shut up. It's pollen.
Demon. It's called pollen. It's called use some Claritin or something, dog.
Right.
All right. Exodus 4, chapter 4, verse 10. But Moses said to the Lord, Oh my Lord. Hold on. Verse 4, 10 through 16. Okay. But Moses said to the Lord, Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent either in my past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech. I got this stutter. And of my tongue. Then the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. But he said, Oh, my Lord, please send someone else. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is that not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth. And I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him.
All right. So check this out. Bottom line, no matter what your excuse and reasoning is, God has already chose, and he will give you the tools needed to complete the task. You know what I mean? So sometimes people are not elegant in speech. Mm-hmm. And in this case, he used Aaron and Aaron spoke for him. But did you notice something? Aaron spoke for him, but who did God speak to first? He spoke to Moses to tell Aaron what to say. Yeah. So Moses didn't dwindle out of it. He just couldn't speak it. I don't feel like I'm the best speaker. Mm-hmm. But I know when we get on this podcast and we do this Bible study, God allowed me to flow without being self-conscious about X, Y, or Z. Right. And we still got a purpose and a mission to do. So God still used them despite his excuses.
And you know what's crazy? God clearly said, I'll speak through you. Only reason God wasn't using Moses to speak because Moses didn't want to. God wanted to use Moses. Remember the Bible said God's anger kindled towards Moses. Because like, look, one word I'm telling you, I can use you and speak through you. But because Moses will just say hardness of his heart, he said, all right, then bring Aaron over here. I speak to Aaron since you so hard-headed.
But, and he still showed him love because he was hard-headed. Because back in the day, he went, you know what?
But God's grace was there to use Moses. So God could have easily used Moses. The only reason Moses' mouth wouldn't use because Moses wouldn't do it. It's on Moses. It wasn't on God. God wanted to use him. All right, last scripture, we're going to John chapter 15 and verse 16. Last one for tonight.
Last one for tonight, folks. Appreciate y'all tuning in tonight.
Yeah. I'm glad I came. I'm glad I showed up, bro.
Me too.
All right, John chapter 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you.
Listen, man, we all know we would rather be doing our own thing at times. 100%. You know what I mean? Like right now, I would rather be looking at the back of my eyelids. I'm not going to even lie to you because how early I get up. Some nights, I just don't feel like doing it.
Yeah.
But we have to remember God chose you, just like he chose me and C to do this Bible study, the podcast. And if you're in God's will and walking in your purpose, your fruit will remain. It will produce 100%. Right fruit. A lot of people want the instantaneous right now blessing. Well, God, you told me you might not be ready yet. You might not know how to balance a whole line of whatever you're trying to do. You might not know how to put together a four-part whatever.
Yeah.
But it takes time. Fruit grows. It's a season. You plant the seed. It has to grow. It has to be watered, nurtured. Then it remains ripe fruit. Yeah. Until then, it's premature and thrown away. And God's not in the business of throwing us away if we're willing to be used by him.
Yeah.
So you got anything on that, C?
Yeah, only thing I want to point out about this, man, I think it's so awesome when God said, you did not choose me, I chose you.
I chose you. Yes, sir.
You get no glory for it. I chose you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. So do a quick recap real quick, go over this
Okay, I
and
got you.
get ready to wrap this up. Again, tonight's topic was everybody can't go. And we talked about the importance of separating yourself from toxic people. Listen, family members, whomever it may be, you're going to have to separate yourself from the toxic thought. And I couldn't put all that up there because it's a bunch of toxic things. You can have toxic habits, thoughts, people in your life, whatever it may be that's toxic. You have to separate yourself from it in order to move on and answer God's calling. Then we went on to understanding is your calling and purpose. Stop looking for validation from people. If God told you, He called you, He said it, and that's it. You know what I mean? Like we saw all of these things, and one of the stories that stuck out because I think we do it so much. Sometimes we get this braggadocious type attitude. God said He going to do this, and He showed me these things, and we saw how Joseph was sold into slavery and everything because he ran his mouth, and he wasn't supposed to run his mouth. That was just for him to see and him to meditate and pray on. And then at last, we talked about God chose you despite your flaws. So no matter who what you've done, you know what I mean? I'm not worthy. God will never forgive me. He'll forgive you. And you're right. We're not worthy. But through the blood of Christ, we are worthy in Christ Jesus and through Christ Jesus because He sees us through the blood of Jesus when we accept Him as our personal Lord and Savior. And that's why we do these Bible studies. We do the Bible studies because we're trying to, first and foremost, spread the gospel of Christ. C and I talk about this all the time. I don't necessarily feel like doing this Bible study all the time. I feel like I'm not worthy to do the Bible study. But God has given us this Bible study together. And we've said this maybe once or twice. C brought this to me a few years ago. And my exact words to my brother was, "You and Crystal can do
This is facts.
it." And my brother looked at me and said, "Nah, bro. Nah, that ain't it." I think maybe a few weeks went by and the Lord pricked my heart and was like, "Nah, you and C gonna do it." And we've been doing it ever since. It's not always easy, you know, because you're gonna have flaws. And like I said, He'll choose you despite your flaws. Me and the brother on the side of me, we both know what we've done, what we haven't done, the things we could be doing better, all of these things, yet and still, He still continues to bless us because we don't have no clue. I sent CD's notes last night. I lied. I had the topic. I had the topic a couple of weeks ago. I did not get any of these scriptures until last night, sitting where I'm sitting now. I prayed, turned on my praise and worship, and then it flowed. And that's how the Lord will work. But I didn't, when I sent see the notes, I didn't say, "Hey, what you think, bro?" And that's what we oftentimes do. It was perfect example was my Bible study to give as this brother helped me. But it wasn't for me to go and ask him, "Does this line up? Is this right?" And that's what I'm trying to encourage you guys on. So if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, now's the time. If you've sinned and you're struggling with something, repent. That's it. It's not this big to do. C brought up the prodigal son earlier. The prodigal son was swimming in slop. Just look at it. You may be swimming in liquor, drugs, whatever the case may be, and you're struggling with it. And then you get up and be like, "Man, I'm tired of this. My father, a king." It's that simple. Just go back. They're gonna celebrate. And if you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's simple, man. And the reason why people debate it so much, because even a kid can understand it. All you have to say is, "Lord, I'm a sinner and I need a savior. I believe that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for me, die for my sins, and he rose on the third day so that I may have everlasting life. Lord, come into my heart, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I repent in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Amen." It's that simple. And the only thing I can tell you is welcome to the kingdom. If you've never said that, if you said the sinner prayer again and you already said it, that's fine also. Because I know some people want to rededicate their lives. That's fine. Rededicate it. But now that you've rededicated, get a Bible app, get a physical Bible. I know it's kind of hard nowadays because we're always on the move. We're always doing this. But if you get a Bible app, I'm going to encourage you to download the app. And whenever you open your app to do your daily reading, put your phone on airplane mode. Give God the 2 to 5 minutes to read that lesson plan without a notification, without a text message, without an email. Give him the 2 to 5 minutes, and that 2 to 5 minutes turns into 10 to 15. 10 to 15 turn into 20, and so on and so forth, so that you can have that fellowship time, so that when you go through these times, you will know that it's God. You can stand still and know you're God. You're not leaning to your own understanding. You're not missing it. You're not going to sour whomever to validate what God is telling you to do.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that this is it's the end all be all for your salvation. Yes. And I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to tell you it's always roses. I got things I'm going through right now in my life. That's fine. That's life is going to life. But life and without Christ and life and with Christ is two different things. And I guarantee you it's better on this side.
100%, man. Hey, if you watch this Bible study tonight, man, we thank y'all so much for taking your time to see this. Anybody who hear this on the audio version, we appreciate y'all. We do not take it lightly, man. And if you came to Christ tonight, thank you. Glory be to God. And
amen.
Find you a church home. Find you a good church. You know, don't be so overly particular. I don't like this. I don't like, man, get in church so you can learn of the Bible and you can learn of God. And if one church don't work out, go to another one. Don't give up on churches just because do you give up on tennis shoes? It's 45 pairs of J's. You ain't got to get every one of them, but that don't mean you don't like J's no more.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
We ain't got to do that with churches just because this one don't fit. All churches are bad. That's not true. So, you know, find yourself a church home and learn of God, man. With that being said, man, we thank y'all so much for watching this Bible study, man. And we will be back tomorrow night with our sports show live at 6 o'clock, man. And we hope to see y'all then, man. That being said, I'm C. Micah.
I'm Robert Dean.
And we out, man. We'll see y'all tomorrow.
Y'all be blessed. Take them wherever though. Take. Everywhere, make them known. Take. I want to make some clones. Yeah. Modeling in Christ alone. I take his name around everywhere I go. Every city, every town, I will make them known. His mission got me bound, trying to make some clones. Model Christ alone. I make them known.